So just a few quick points before we sink into the meat of our analysis for today. Our discussion is going to center around this, the centrality of economic efficiency, bittul melachto shel bal habayis, the concern of the poel wasting the bal habayis's time and the bal habayis's entitlement to efficient work days, work hours. I wanted to emphasize a few makoros here that we saw, that we saw on Tuesday, and just underscore some of the formulations. The Rambam that we opened with in Schiros Yud Beis Beis, so remember he had this chiddush that he reads the Gemara backwards, that midoraisa, the polem are only allowed to work misha yigmar avodaso. But mipnei hasheva veda labailim, amru, that the polem should eat off their, the polem should eat while they're working, shelo yivatlu mimalachtam, v'yeshvu lechol, el ochen besoch hamalacha. So there seems to be this just empirical debate about which is the more efficient model. See, the Rambam seems to think that allowing the polem to eat bishas melacha is more efficient because then they're not wasting time afterwards sitting to eat. Whereas the Rashi reading of the Gemara seems to assume that it's more efficient to get the workers to eat shelo bishas melacha. This way they could do the melacha itself more efficiently. So there seems to be this empirical debate about which model in fact is more efficient, but they're all concerned with shelo yivatlu mimalachtam. Right, that's agreed upon in these different rishonim. And then again, you have this concern of bittul melacha on schiros yud beis gimel, where the Rambam writes, and this is midoraisa. Remember, in yud beis beis, it's midrabanan that they tinker with the law so that they won't be mevatlim mimalachtam. In Yud Beis Gimel, you get bittul melacha as part of the Doraisa conception of the way the laws of Achilas Poel are structured. Hamvatlam mimalachto v'ochel, or whatever, violates a lo saseh. So you can see that the Rambam thinks that the isser of bittul melacha to eat is built into the Torah's lo saseh of Chermesh lo saneh. And I think what's important here is that the Raivid disagrees. And he cites the Rambam's Gezer Sakasev, and he says, "V'lo mipnei bittul melacha, ela shlo yasa achilaso keva kein melachto." So there's this debate between the Raivid and the Rambam here regarding the limitation on the poel's eating right. Is that mishum bittul melacha, which is what the Rambam seems to suggest? Someone's mevatel mimelacha ba'ochel violates this Gezer Sakasev. The Rabbit says, no, it's not mipnei bittul melacha. It's about this other concern about the scope of his eating rights. Like his eating rights can't become keva. And that's what the Torah is trying to rein in. It's not concerned with bittul melacha. So I think that's a very fascinating disagreement about the centrality of bittul melacha within the Doraisa conception of the rules of Achilas Poel. That's just one diak I wanted to make in the earlier discussion. Anybody have thoughts on this diak in the Rambam here in the Machlokas Rambam Raivid about the Doraisa dimension of bittul melacha? Okay. Speak now or forever hold your peace. All good? Okay. But I think this is an important phrase in the Raivid. So now I want to bring us back to the Gemara on Tzadi Beis, where the Gemara was explicit about this idea of Hashev Aveda Labailim. We saw Rashi translated Hashev Aveda Labailim, or at least in the standard reading of the Gemara, as the Poel is only allowed to eat Bishas Malacha, but Mishim Hashev Aveda Labailim, we tinker with the rule. Rashi here said, Shelo Yivatel Mimalachto V'yochal. So again, we're worried about Bittul Malacha. That's why Chazal tinker with the rules, and at least in his view, at least allow the poel to eat shelo b'shas melacha in order to make the eating more efficient. I think the diak that you guys made yesterday in the Me'iri is correct. On the Me'iri's reading, what's going on here is just that the Takana licenses the Poel to eat Shelo Bishas Malacha, but not that they're prohibited to eat Bishas Malacha. So for example, he said, I think this is Zechariah, was this your Diak? Like if the poel wants, he could eat shelo b'shas malacha. I guess the idea is that by expanding the time frame in which the poel could eat, by giving him the opportunity to eat shelo b'shas malacha, you allow for the malacha to be done more efficiently, whereas the Torah's rule just sets it up in an inefficient. Correct? Okay. So I think that Diak is correct. What I want to add to the discussion today is the two deos in the Ramban, where the Ramban actually suggests maybe the Takana overrides the Doraisa rule and prohibits Achila Bishas Malacha. Anybody get a chance to see the Ramban between last night and now? Okay, so I know I added it in the 11th hour. So you have the Ramban on Pei Zayin Amid Beis, and he quotes a Tosefta, which records a machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda. The Tosefta says, Osa b'chol gufo, ochel b'chol shah sheyirtze. That's the Chachamim's rule. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, Eino ochel ala b'shah sheporek u b'shah shetoein, mipnei gezel melachto shabal abayis. So Rabbi Yehuda on the Ramban's reading limits the Zechos Achila to when he's not actually performing the labor. It's like when he's in between the jobs, when he's like not working on the vines themselves. Why? Mipnei gezel malachto shel balabayis. Because you'd be stealing from the balabayis. Just what strikes you about that phrase? Evan?
It's not gezel. He has the right to eat that food.
It's not gezel haperos, it's gezel malachto.
Right. So that seems to be, he's kind of like conflating the two ideas. Like, it's not, I guess, if he's hired, considering that he's going to take a break, that he's going to eat, presumably the time to eat is also built in. So
that's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. I see what you're saying. You're saying it's, so I think you're a step ahead of me. The step before what you're saying, I think, is just that the step before what he's saying is that he characterizes this as gezel, right? What do you think of that? So if the worker were to eat while he's doing the labor, this would be a kind of gezel malachto shabala bias. It's a very, very strong phrase.
Yeah, so Yakir and I talked about this phrase when we saw in the Tosefta, in the section you added. I wasn't sure whether this is... Mital has what to say about this. I wasn't sure whether this is more a literary gezel or a halachic or a legal gezel. Like, I don't think you necessarily need to read it as formal gezel. In order to read it as formal gezel, you need to say that malacha is like a commoditized good, which is transferred b'shas aschirus. And then every minute that you spend not working is stealing from that commodity that you transfer. But I'm not sure you need to read it that way.
Oh yeah, good. That's a really good way of putting it. So Gabe is I think right to say, if you translate it kind of literally as opposed to literarily, then it sounds like he's thinking in terms of gezel, and that would suggest something along the lines of the employer is kone the malacha of the poel up front, you know, yad poel ki yad balabayis. There's some transaction, the sale of labor up front, and the poel is now stealing that when he's not working efficiently. So I think, yeah, that's the diak I wanted to make in terms of gezel malacha, which is it's much stronger than bittel malacha, right? Bittel, you might say, is about efficiency, as in like you could have done more. You're kind of like wasting the opportunity that the Baal Bayis had to have you act more productively. Gezel is much stronger. But Gabe is also suggesting that maybe we should read this more literarily, that it really just means Bittelmacher, right, Gabe?
Yeah, that's right. In the literal read, do you think that there's recourse or compensation for that kind of Gzela as opposed to Bittelmacher?
Yeah, good point. Actually, in the Rabbi Levine article, in the end, he, you know, like one of the problems, we'll talk about Levine in a second, but one of the problems with Rabbi Levine is that he kind of, it's like encyclopedia Talmudists, right? He kind of just like cites things, and like some things are like from the Rambam, some things are from like the Psalm Sofer, and then some things are from like the Mishpat Ivri people in Israel. So he has one sentence here where he says, oh yes, if you don't work efficiently in your Mevatel Mimlacha, the Balabayas, you forfeit your wages. He says on page 179 of the article, a worker who idles on his employer's time forfeits the wages he would have earned for this time period. I'm like, oh, that's a great shita, right? Who holds that? Which is sort of what you're asking, Gabe. And then you look at footnote 54 and it's like, you know, Rabbi Bar Haftig is like a Mishpat Ivri guy in Israel. I'm like, okay, it's like a nice chiddush. And, you know, there's, it's not like it comes out of the Rambam or any of the Mefarshim. So, but Gabe, yeah, it's interesting. That'd be an interesting nafka mina, right? Gabe?
Yeah. I think that's a nafka mina between Gezel and Bittel.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think we should be sensitive to that distinction. Now the Ramban just, I think the second point, and this is where Evan was a step ahead of us, is it's interesting if we take this literally, that it could be considered gezel, even though the Torah gives the worker the license to eat. So, right, it's one thing to say that it's gezel if you're wasting time. It's something else to say that the Torah gives you the zchus achila to eat bishas melacha, but it's gezel melachto shel bal habayis to exercise that zchus achila. No? Shua, you think that's wrong?
I don't understand really what you're saying. Like, wouldn't that just clearly be a qualification in the schos that the Torah gives him? Meaning like you're allowed to eat in a way that's not gezel lachto shel bal habayis, right? Like that's just definitional. And that's why it's shasha.
But if the schos achila is limited to bishas melacha,
right?
And Chazal are saying, at least on the Ramban's reading for Rabbi Yehuda, he can no longer eat b'shas malacha mipnei gezel malachto shabal abayis. I guess, so I think the problem here, and this is what Evan was saying, if the Torah sets it up that you have the zchus achila on the job, it's hard to say that that would constitute gezel malachto shabal abayis. Presumably the zchus achila just modifies the kinds of claims that the bal abayis has on you. And so that exercising your eating right, exercising the coffee break privilege, is not really an infringement on the employment obligations. So that's what I think is a little strange about this thing. Like, why do the Rabbanan feel they have to change the Deoraisa law, mipnei gezel melachto shel bal habayis, as opposed to saying, no, there's some internal redefining of the bal habayis's claims on the poel in light of the Torah's chus achila. Yeah, you see that, Shua? Okay, good. So the Ramban goes on to explain, he says, the Chachamim hold that the poel is ochel b'chol sha'a she'yirtze. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda polig she'eno ochel ela b'sha'a she'ena mizbat al nimalachto. Rabbi Yehuda limits the eating right to those times when there's no bitl melacha. Dehainu b'sha'a she'porek b'telein. Dekasava Rabbi Yehuda takanas Chachamim hi she'lo lechol b'sha'as melacha. So, right, the takanas chachamim here is not just to say that it's permissible to eat shelo b'shas malacha, but to actually say that it's prohibited shelo lechol that b'shas malacha, so long as there's some way for you to eat it shelo b'bitl. And he says the chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda are disagreeing about hashev aveda lebailim. Rabbi Yehuda savar tiknu sheyochal b'shas shachozim min agat. Below yochlu b'shas malacha, for Rabbanan sabri tiknu sheyochal kain kedesh lo yochlu b'shas malacha below she'asur aleihem klon. The Ramban saying the Chacham think there's no Isser to eat Bishas Malacha, just the Chacham expanded the time that you could eat. Whereas Rav Yehuda actually thinks the Chachamim asered Achila B'Shas Malacha in order to make this more efficient. So I think when you analyze this, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts, what's going for Rav Yehuda is the efficiency argument. What's going for Rav Yehuda is that obviously it's much more efficient to, if you think that there's Bitul Malacha in eating B'Shas Malacha, it's more efficient to prohibit Achila B'Shas Malacha and allow it exclusively Shelo B'Shas Malacha. That's what's going for Rabbi Yehuda. What's going for the Chachamim, though, is that Rabbi Yehuda is like really undermining the, right? He's totally tinkering with the Doraisa Din. The Doraisa Din is that you have a Zechus Achila B'Shas Malacha, but no Zechus Shelo B'Shas Malacha. And Rabbi Yehuda is really just inverting that out of a consideration of Bitul Malacha. And that's, you know, that's kind of strange, both for the reason that Evan put forth, right? How could it actually be Bitul Malacha if this is a license that you have to eat? And also in and of itself, that you're just totally undercutting the Doraisa principle. So I think that's the tension between the different views. You know, I wonder if one thing that helps Rabbi Yehuda's position is the fact that Bitul Malacha might be front and center, even in the Doraisa conception. Remember, like the Rambam's Gezeiras HaKasev, Vatel Mimalacha B'Shas Ochel, and the Chacham HaMarshim as well. You know, that the din here is Mipnei Toeles Balabayis. I think that would help explain why there's such a discretion or liberty for the Chachamim to redefine the scope of the Heter Midoraisa if Bitul Malacha is front and center. I know Gabe didn't like that, Gabe, but yes, you know, on Tuesday, you know, didn't like that Bitul Malacha could be so front and center. Thought economics is something for, you know, Columbia majors, not for the Torah to be concerned about. Was that your view, Gabe?
I wouldn't have phrased it that way. I would have said that I don't think the Torah. Yeah, maybe I'll say that. Okay, I accept your formulation.
Okay. Wow, that was so easy. Yeah. Okay, good. That's what I wanted to catch up from yesterday. Evan, it looked like you had a comment on this.
Yeah, just we kind of pose a few different options for sort of the generator of the Zchus Achila. And a lot of them, as we saw, were like this kind of biadayim, or I think Cole said like this Kenyan thing. And a lot of that stuff would seemingly Doraisa limit it to B'Shas Malacha. And like, if you're gonna go with Rabbi Yehuda, you might need to reconsider a lot of those dinim that, like, I think the Gemara seemed to openly state.
Yeah, except that what's going, Rabbi Yehuda would acknowledge that that's all Midrabanan. But, right, meaning it's Doraisa that's that way, Midrabanan, they tinkered with it. But I agree with you that just puts more of a burden on Rabbi Yehuda to explain, like, why does the economic consideration suddenly override, like, all these dinim that are explicated?
Yeah.
Good.
Also, if you say that, you know, this is somehow somewhere from, like, the Stucca / Tircha / Tsar realm, like, why would economic considerations override that?
Yeah. I guess you'd say there's a balance here, right? There's like a balance between the worker's tsar and the employer's rights.
Right.
Yeah.
But again, still burden of proof on Rabbi Yehuda to
totally
say that.
Totally. I actually want to speak one further point. I know Shua mentioned the cover article a while ago about Judaism, and I don't know if I mentioned the Rebuchim piece also, that Judaism only believes in duties, no rights. Did I mention the Rebuchim piece? I'll send out their Lechemzin piece also. Yoni mentioned it on the discussion board, but I'll send out that piece. I just want to point out how wrong that view is. It seems clear to me that Bitul Malacha Shel Bala Bayis is about the right of the Bala Bayis. Right? It's hard to think of that in terms of a duty. Gezel Malachto Shel Bala Bayis, it's about the right of the Bala Bayis to have the worker work at full capacity.
How is that any different than every other gezel?
What are you saying, Shiva?
I'm saying I don't understand how your argument is directly tied to Gezem Oxlo Shabbat Baalbais. I think your point is that Gezela necessarily requires a person's like right to their own object. But I don't know.
I agree.
And Rav Lichtenstein had an answer to that question.
Right. Good point. I think the slightly difference is that it's much, you know, you could talk about, oh, Gzela is like a duty not to interfere with other people's property. And just, you know, here it seems more sensible. The Gemara is always worried about bitul melachto shel baal habayis. It just sounds like the right of the baal habayis is like more, is the primary consideration.
In terms of the language of bitul melachto shel baal habayis, it certainly seems baal habayis focused, but it wouldn't be that hard to imagine that, like, once I enter into this contract, I have a duty to, like I said, I was going to work for you. I have a duty to do that work as agreed to.
But I'm just saying that the formulation here of, like,
for sure,
you know, gezel melachto shel baal habayis, it's like the moral concern lies not with, like, with it flows from,
right? I would say the exact opposite. Legitimately the exact opposite, right? Gezel melachto shel baal habayis, what's the issue is that I've committed myself to a duty. I'm duty bound to do this work. And that's why it's so problematic if I like take time off from it. If it was just a right that he had to my services, then right.
I think you don't understand that, like, it would be something like you would call it something then like fisfisat hapoel or something like that, or like, or
no, because I that's why it's gezel. That's why they use the language gezel, right? Because like I'm duty, I owe this duty, and by not doing it, I'm stealing what he could have.
Yeah, I hear. You can go that route. I think it's like when we say negezel aniyim, right? When we say things like that, we mean like the moral weight is on the person whose right is being violated, not on the person whose duty is not being performed. But I think
that, I don't remember if I mentioned it. I did when we brought it up, that like one of the criticisms of cover is that like functionally every duty creates some type of right, like someone's being tovea it, right? But I think the idea is more a conceptual orientation toward like where it's novea from, right? Yeah. And that is, I think this kind of fits well with that.
I hear that. Gabe said he's with Yeshua in the chat, so you have strong support. I just want to mention also that this phrase of Mipnei Gezel Malachto Shel Baal Habayis comes up in the Baruch HaSfardi that we saw. He said, the pul only eats Bishas Gemar Malachta, Ela Bishas Gemar Meleches Baal Habayis Mipnei Gezel Malachto. So he also has that strong phrase of Gezel Malacha being a primary consideration in the way the Torah sets it up.
Like you said, that he also calls it Meleches Baal Habayis instead of, we usually see it as Gemar Malachto, right? That you could use that this is, I don't know, you could flip that either way. Same as Shua said before, is that like it's the Malacha that you are duty bound to do the Baal Habayis, or it's the Malacha that the Baal Habayis has a right to be Tovea. So I get, but I just don't think we've seen that formulation before.
Gezel Malachta, right? You're stealing his Malacha.
Or the one before.
Yeah, Gemar
Malacha Baal Habayis, yeah.
Well, but this, but here he's not talking about Gezel, right? He's saying you only have the right to eat Bishas Gemar Malacha Baal Habayis.
Actually, I have a comment on this that is not fully formed, but maybe worth considering. It's a little bit like abstract.
Sure, your Hav Aminos are like our Maskanos, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's usually how it works out. But I think that if you just like think about the language of a duty versus a right, like intuitively, duty to me sounds more all encompassing, right? So think about like this example. Well, think about the example of the Gemara and Tinus that I quoted last time, right? If you as someone I'm like contractually obligated to as a right to my labor, right, then presumably you have a right to like my like normal labor, right? Like I'm going to like act as a normal laborer, and you're gonna like, and if I slack off or if I don't show up, then I've like impugned on your right, right? But if I have a duty to labor, then it's easier for me to buy into this. Like, that duty is so all-encompassing that I can't stop and eat. I can't stop and talk. Obviously, it's semantic, right? This is like English semantics. But it's, I think that there is like a, as in,
I don't buy it. I think that's just a question of the content of the right or the content of the duty. Not that there's something about a duty that would suggest it being more encompassing in any event.
It just seems. It seems to me like you're. I agree with that statement. I'm trying to like work out this.
This is how it seems to you today. Tomorrow will seem the other way.
No. I think that. I would almost like chart it out on a Ben Adam Malcolm Ben Adam Chavero type thing, right? Like, if it's just a contract, then like it doesn't make sense to me to say that like the guy can't be shell, and that's not normal, right? Or like contracts take into consideration like normalcy. But if it's like a mitzvah, like this is how I'm meant to act because God said this is how Paul and I are supposed to act, right? Then like it's like my duty to do this, right? It emancipates it from the very like vanity of like interpersonal.
Could be. I'll still say that could just be about the content of the duty. But let's hold off on this for now. But it's definitely worth considering just as we see some of these makoros. So actually, sure, you might want to bring it up in when we get to that Gemara and the related dina. Look here. So I think a diuk again, getting back to Gabe's point earlier in their Baruch HaSfardi, is that he calls this get mipnei gezel malachto, and I think that's interesting to think that. Again, that the malacha is nitan l'gzela. Notice here in their Baruch HaSfardi, is this part of the Doraisa conception or the Drabanan conception? Geza malachto. Like, is the consideration of geza malachto doing Doraisa work or Drabanan work? For a Baruch
HaSfardi.
The phrase
lo amru.
What's that,
Noah? It uses the phrase lo amru, which makes it sound like it's a derabanan.
So I thought, it's interesting. I think that's going on the Doraisa din, just like as the explicators.
Yeah, it could be.
Because he's talking about here, the Dindo Raisa is Lo Amru Shiyochel Bishas Gemar Malacha. He's a Rambam man, right? Meaning the Do Raisa Din kicks in Bishas Gemar Malacha. Why? Mipnei Gezal Malachto, because of Gezal Malachto Shabbal Abayas. Aval Mipnei Hashir Abedal Abaylim Perish. Shemi Yishtali Mapri Besocha Malacha Bilo Yehelem Acha Kein Mayochler. Worried about like the Poelim losing their entitlement. Amru Poelim Ochim Bahadi Chasim Yomun Oman. That's how they granted them the right shalubishas mar malacha.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Make sense, Noah?
Yeah.
So I think for Baruch HaSfardi, actually, he thinks that the gemar malacha rule, that they're only eating bishas gemar malachas bal bayis, is mipnei geza malachta. So like the doraisa rules are framed by this consideration of geza malachas bal bayis. Okay. Good. Now, we also saw that other dinim are framed around bitul malacha, but these might be midrabanan. So the idea that shelo yahave be'or, that the poel can't put out the grapes to roast in the sun, is mishum bitul malacha esbal abayis. Velo yichmar ba'adam v'yochal, v'gmar ampeitas. Velo yafrich al gabe sela v'yochal, hasa mishum bitul malacha. Rosh says, shemivat alasmo kishimahave. The poel can't bring like his spice rack, or, you know, he can't like modify the grapes in any way, because that's going to lead to bitul malacha.
To go back to like Evan's point a bit, it's like weird that the geza malacha should kind of like modify what the scope of the doraisa is, because like geza malacha would probably be a problem due to some like breach of contract of like whatever their, you know, agreement was, you know, but that contract would probably be defined by whatever the doraisa is.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a chicken egg problem, I guess.
Totally. Yeah, really important point, right? So like, why is there all this concern for bitul malacha if like the Torah already sets up the standard of bita malacha, one of the things that factors into articulating the standard is the zchus achila, right, Noah?
Yeah, but like specifically in terms of like defining when the right, or you know, whenever, when the mitzvah applies me to raisa.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting point. Like, why is there a concern of bita malacha if these things are part of like the Torah's kind of conception of the standard of malacha as defined by giving the worker the lunch break or the zchus achila? So, you know, I wonder actually if this counters the point that Zachariah made in the end of last Chabura and one of my criticisms on Rabbi Levine. Like, maybe there's a distinction here just between gezel malachto shabal habayis and bitul malacha. So it's like, maybe you're right, as a gezel malacha issue, there's no real concern, right? As you said, the contract is set up in a way that allows for these minor deviations, right? It allows for these certain zechuyos that the poel has. So it can't be gezel malachas bal bias if it's factored in the Torah's conception of working. But maybe there's just a separate consideration that has literally of efficiency, that Chazal want work to be done as efficiently as possible, mishum bitul malacha, as distinct from gezel malachto shabal habayis, right? It's not about, oh, you sold the labor up front and now you're stealing from the bal habayis's claim. It's just like Chazal have an interest in like the economic efficiency of a worker's productivity, and they're tweaking the rules around that. Is that a possibility? Does that solve your problem, Noah?
Maybe. I'm not sure. Yeah. I guess I was more like saying within Rav Baruch HaSvardi, where he wanted to use the Gezel Malacha as like a way of defining what the parameters of the Doraisa are, it kind of, you know, makes it kind of makes Gezel Malacha, I guess, be more like the Bitul Malacha they were discussing earlier. And I guess, you know, the way that we were saying, like, the literary interpretation rather than literal interpretation.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess so.
See, what I'm suggesting now is that there's actually a big difference between the idea of Gezel Malacha, right, which is about breaching, violating the Bala Bias's like property right to your, or contractual right to your labor, and the idea of bitul malacha, which just could be understood as an
efficiency.
Exactly. Like a, almost like a baltashkis kind of thing. And so it's not that these considerations are modifying the duties to the employer. Just Chazal are saying like, we want the workday to be as efficient as possible. Is that, you see what I'm saying? That would distinguish between bitul and gezel.
Okay. I guess so, but then, yeah, okay.
You're right, the problem would still persist for the gezel malacha people. Right? It's not going to help us for Baruch HaSfardi, who emphasizes the gezel malacha, and the Ramban, who says gezel malacha. Right? Okay, so I want to just take a step back here to talk a little generally about this idea of gezel malachto for a minute. I think it's, if there is a sugya where it's front and center, it's right here. You see in the way Chazal are tinkering with the rules of Achilas Poel, and also maybe according to some Rishonim, like a Baruch HaSfardi and the Rambam, even in the Doraisa and the Chacham HaMarshim in the Doraisa conception of the Zchus Achilas Poel. So I want us to just look at a few dinim very quickly. So we saw last time the Rambam in Yud Gimel Vav, where he says the poel has to work b'chol kocho. He can't do things that are he can't stay up late at night if it's gonna make him less productive the next day. Lo ye mariv misagef atzmo. He can't do things that'll make himself weaker. Here he says again, b'pnei gezel malachto shabal habayis. So the Rambam uses that phrase. It sounds like you'd be violating the right that the Baal HaBayis has to have a work or work b'chol kocho. So if you're stealing like the malacha right that the Baal HaBayis has. And then again in Halacha Zayin he says, Ha'ani, I guess he's assuming that Paul and Maraniyim, Muzhar shelo yigzol malachas Baal HaBayis. Again, he uses that phrase. And your gozel malachas Baal HaBayis through being mevatel ma'at kan, ma'at kan. And he gives the idea, and he points to the fact that Chazal or Mevater on the last bracha of benching, they said a Paul doesn't have to bench, or he could get off after Uvenay in order to get back to work. So that shows you how seriously Chazal take this idea of Bito Meleches Baal HaBayis. And we mentioned last time how the Gra sites are Sugya as a Makar for this idea of Gezel Melachos Baal HaBayis. So I wanted to very briefly talk about some of the other makoros. So let's take the hands first. So Evan, Evan and Gabe.
Does the Rambam ever use the language of bitul malacha, or is it just always gezel across the board?
I think in our sugya, what we started off today, he used the phrase bitul. Let me just go back. I think here, yeah, in Schiros Yud Beis Beis. He said,
So what do you...
And then again, here in Yud Beis, he uses that.
Would you like read a difference between those two, the Gezel and the Bittel, or we're just saying that it's all should be read the same in the Rambam?
I'm not sure. Like, why would he use different phrases?
Right. That's the question.
I think it is Meduyak. I would say, based off the diak I was making before, that the Rambam is being precise. So in the Zchus Achilas Polim cases, well, actually, I'm not sure. I take it back. Looks like Zachariah is saying
the same. You could say that in the end of the Rambam, where he's kind of going on his Agata point, it might be he's just trying to build up the comparison of Kedar Shemuzer Balbay Shalo Yigzal Schar Ani, which is literally Gazela. He's trying to emphasize that just how that injustice is palpable, the Ani, who's very easy to Mora Hetel Atmo, to kind of polemically push back against that, he's emphasized that too is a kind of theft, and therefore kind of trying to build that equation. Although, like, I think maybe the prior one, the more sober Bittul Malacha, is going to be a lav of Cher Meish Lotanif, but it's not going to be Gazela in any sense.
So you want to distinguish between what he says there. I think it's Perakid Beis and Perakid Gimel. Perakid Beis is Bittul Malacha and Perakid Gimel. Say it again, Zachariah?
Yeah, as in I feel like the Bittul Malacha is his more true like halachic comparison, while Yugimel might be his more kind of, you know, hashkafic moral analogy.
Even though you also have it in Halacha before he gets to the paration to like literally when the Ram gets literary, right? So the question is he literary in Halacha Vav also, or just in Halacha Zayin in your view? Because here he's actually just quoting the Tosefta, right?
Right.
Yeah, hard to know. It is interesting to me that Diak, that the Rambam uses different phrases than Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. Let's see, Gabe, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, I was going to move in Zachariah's direction also. I think the placement of this halacha is like the conclusion to the Skirus, the Raya from Yaakov Avinu, a bunch of those things, sort of the sense I get, and I can't prove it, is that this is a more literary point than a literal point.
I hear that.
That's a more methodological point, but like when the Ram, like, we noticed that Perakid Gimel is not talking about Poalim. Perakid Beis is about Poalim, which is where this should be found. Yud Gimel is about Chasimas Shor. So the Rambam kind of uses this halacha as a summary or conclusion, as Zachariah said, hashkafic, a recap of Hilchos Chirus, but it might not be as strictly halachic or legal.
Yeah, pretty interesting. A nice diak here. This is like what Chaim Soloveitchik would do. You'd say, oh, like, look who the people who quote the Rambam and see if they cut out that phrase, ligzol, right? He's like, oh, read the Rambam. Like, what does the Ritva take out of the Rambam, right? So it's interesting if you look at the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Lamed Zayin, what goes is that phrase of Shelo Yigzol. the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Chaf, Muzar Apol Shlo Yevatel Ma'atkan Ma'atkan. So notice he just literally takes out Shlo Yigzal Malachas Bala Bayis. Like he excises that one problematic phrase. Isn't that interesting? But I'd want to check the halacha before just to see if that phrase appears there or not. But I think it's pretty interesting that that phrase is the first thing to go. That should support the literary reading, right? Zachariah and Gabe? Yeah, Evan?
Yeah, so I did think of a hakira that maybe we can make between Yud Gimel and Yud Bet. So Yud Bet, when is bito malacha as referring to the zchus achila, which I would say is like a non-contractual sort of more, I say, halakhic, loosely kind of thing, din. And in that case, you have like a concept of bittul. Whereas in Yud Gimel, we're dealing with more strict contractual issues about like you fulfilling your, like the worker fulfilling his end of a bargain. And so there, it's sort of more monetary, more dine mamon, and maybe gezel would apply.
Yeah,
so it's like two aspects of the worker. Like the worker in terms of his zechus, and worker in terms of his contractual obligation.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of also. Meaning, so it's like in halacha, in Perek Yud Beis, where we're talking about the zechus achilas apoel, you know, these are certain rights that he has to eat in the Torah. I'm not sure. And so there you want to say that it's it makes sense to talk about bittul, right? He's not violating some like clear contractual obligation to the Bala Bayis.
Right.
Whereas this idea of the Chol Kocho is much more about just the standard of work required by the contract. Like what kind of labor power did he sell ex ante? And that's why it could generate an Isser Gzela.
Right. And even if you want to say it's not really Gzela, at least the language of Gezel is more, you know, I owe you kind of thing. Or, you know, I was in a contract for 10 hours, I only worked 8. Or, you know, yeah, more of these basic contractual obligation kind of things. Whereas Bittul seems to be more about expectation or minastam kind of stuff.
Yeah, or not even owed to the Bala Bayis. Maybe it's
right, like, or not even right.
Maybe that's purely in the Bal Tashkis sense, even, right? It's like just to be productive.
Although Yud Gimel also has to do with productivity, like, you know.
Yeah, and then Yud Beis, I think the Rambam does say Bala Bayis there, right? Just going back to Yud Beis, the Rambam says, well, no, here he says, Shle Yivatlu Mi Melachton, HaMevatel Mi Melachto. I actually think the Diak works out nice, right? Here, he doesn't say it's like, Bitol Meleches Bala Bayis. It's just Bitol Melacha, right? Shle Yivatlu Mi Melachton. And I think that might support the kind of the efficiency, productivity reading of Bittul. It's not a breach of a duty owed to the Bala Bayis. Whereas Perek Yud Gimel is about Gezel Bala Bayis, because as Evan's saying, that's like the contractual obligations owed to him. Is that right, Evan?
Yeah.
I like that. Okay, good. So I wanna just, Gabe, did you have a point to follow up on this, or you had your point? I'll ask Gabe when he gets back. Gabe? Okay, so I want to quickly survey the other dinim that relate to this bittul gezel malacha. One important makar is the Tosefta in Bamitzia Dalad Yud Beis. Hamoshe Bez Chaver B'chanos L'machtzis Schar. I asked Zechariah to supervise the store. He gets paid a 50% of the proceeds that he makes, whatever. So if Zechariah has like a side hustle, whatever it is, like making baskets or programming things, lo yasok b'manuso, lefisha einena b'alachanos b'shash osek b'manuso. You can't do both at the same time because like the expectation is that he'll have Eina Balachanus, and it seems like he'd be violating that agreement if he's doing his side hustle at the same time. So there's no upshot, there's no principle statement in the Tosefta, but the underlying rule seems to be consistent with this idea of, you know, Gezel Malachto Shabbal Abayis. So you're supposed to be watching over the store. You can't use it for your side hustle.
It's an interesting, like, Kiddush here within the Tosefta, like, obviously the Tosefta is before the Rambam, but, like, this isn't a situation where you don't have a specific job to do. Like, you weren't hired to sweep the floor. Like, you could think you're only harming yourself. Okay, if I'm not doing good, if I'm being good salesman, I'll make less profit. But even there, like, it would be worth, like, teasing out, like, what really do you owe in this case, and why do you owe it?
Exactly. Yeah, it's interesting. You could say, so, you know, he's commission based, and he'll just take a dip in his commissions. But it's his own loss also. But the Tosefta seems to be saying no, right? Like, the standard is still a pretty high standard. Yeah, it's a good point. The Tosefta in the eighth in Perek Ches Halacha Beis. So that's the makar for the Rambam's din. Ena pol rasha lasus malachta bayom lahaskir atza belayla. Can't really moonlight if it's going to infringe on your work capacities the next day. That's all prohibited. And Tosefta uses that phrase, mipnei geza malachto shabal abayis. Now, in context here, I think it's a little harder to read it as just literary. Or it's not like the end of the, it's not the paration at the end of the Hilchos Chiras. But it sounds like Gabe was saying he and Yakir were willing to read this literarily, or at least Lav Dafka, even within the Tosefta. Is that right, Yakir, Gabe?
Yeah.
I won't throw Yakir under the bus.
No, I'm in agreement.
Yeah. So you're saying, you know, Geza Malachto is a weaker idea. It wouldn't be actual Geza Malacha. It would be something more closer to Bidul Malacha, right? Okay. The Yushalmi has the similar din to the Tosefta, the Yushalmi and Demai, but notice the important difference in how it characterizes the underlying rule. You don't have the Gezel Malachto formulation here. You get lo yachrosh b'porasa b'layla b'yaskarena b'yom, lo yasta b'soch shalo b'layla b'yaskar atzom b'yom, etc., etc. Mipnei shehu mima'et b'malachto shabal abayis. It's a very important softening of the language in the Tosefta. But notice here, I think the Yushalmi's formulation in Demai is closer to the Tosefta than it is to the Bitul Malacha phrase that you get in our sugya in Bav Metzia. And that's because it's Bitul Mimait Mimalachto Shel Balabayas. It's meaning to me, it's not just about productivity per se. It seems like it's about something much more fundamental. It's about cutting into the Malachas Balabayas, like some entitlement that the Balabayas has in your Malacha. You guys have thoughts on this? And Yushalmi, the shift from Gezel Malachto Shabbal Abayis to Mema'i B'Malachto Shabbal Abayis. Gabe, you probably find that significant.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's much harder to quantify when you're talking about moonlighting, just because like the reduction in your productivity is very amorphous.
Well, how much does it actually cut in? But remember that Tosefta used the phrase of Geza Malachto for the same phenomenon, and the Yushalmi switched to Mimai Malachto. The Yushalmi then tells the story of Rabbi Yochanan. Anybody get a chance to see the story? Good story?
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
There's some school teacher who we saw, he was very sickly and pale, like a good Eastern European Jew. No, more than that. And he asked him what's going on. He said, oh, he's regularly fasts. So he's
like a good pious guy, right?
Right.
Fasting Bahab or something.
Because of his salary. And then he Rabbi Yochanan said that's for usher, because, and he makes a comparison. So wait, if it's usher to do this, even for the maleches basar v'dam, like we saw in the previous case he just said, so all the more so it's usher to do this when you're dealing with Machto Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu, which really is teaching.
Yeah. So the you know, again, the Shami establishes the idea that the Malamed can't do things, even like fasting, which will cut into his ability to perform his employment obligations. It's interesting if you could extract a heter from this whole discussion about like not fasting on certain fast days, if it's going to make you unable to like fulfill your contractual duties to your employer. It's hard to know like which fast days the Yushalmi has in mind here. So you could see here, the Maram cites this in a Tshuva on Tafrei Samach Zayin. He quotes the Tosefta and he says, Mikan Shaminan, the Baal HaBayis yachal limchos biyad hamalamed shlo yashkim lichto b'lachir mo la'atzmo. So it's like the employer has the right to restrict the kinds of things that the employee does off hours if they're going to bear on his full functioning on hours. And then the Maram also cites the Yushalmi, not just the Tosefta, and he says, mashma misham shemalamed asr le'esanos, which is pretty fascinating. He doesn't say asr le'esanos if it's going to bear on, if it's going to cut into his work productivity. He just thinks it's like a general rule. You could extract that it's asr for malamed to fast based on this principle. Evan, you have a hand on this? Let me just make one other point quickly. Dagos Maimonios in Schiros Yud Gimel Vav also quotes this Tosefta and Yushalmi discussion. He cites the Ravya in the Avya Saf, who extends it in, and he has this important phrase at the end, Kol Mishana Yadol Tachdona. Clearly a word missing here. Yadol Tachdona Le Ad Kamashono. The missing word, I think, is what the Mordechai quotes. Kol Mishana Yadol Tachdona Ma'avrinan Le. Meaning it gives you grounds to fire the guy. It's considered like firing somebody for a cause if they're doing these things off hours that infringe on their ability to function at maximum capacity. So it's not just like an isser. You know, Gabe was interested before, like, can you reduce the guy's salary for this? In the Ravya and the Mordechai and the Gos Hamonios, you see that this din actually has real teeth, in that the poel is considered to have breached his duty such that the Baal HaBayis can actually ma'rin on it, right? You could terminate him for these reasons. And yadol tachdona, right? It's like he does so, the worker breaches this rule at his own liability. And you could see here the Mordechai, when he summarizes this din, he also has this idea, mipnei shemim ma'et v'malachto shel Baal HaBayis. Right, these cut into the malacha of the Baal HaBayis, which I think is just—it's a version of the gezel idea, but with a softer formulation. But again, it's concerned about the Baal HaBayis' entitlement. Evan, you have a hand, and then Adin.
Yeah, just interesting that all these sources seem to point to the fact that when you moonlight or when you're doing this thing, you're kind of going like exceeding the bounds of the contract or not living up to contractual expectations. Yet in the Levine article, it's viewed as sort of like a risk reward thing, where it's like, oh, you have a chiyuv to make sure, right, or you have an iser to take certain risks, which is
Just, I'm going to talk about that. I think that Levine move is totally indefensible.
I mean, having seen the sources now, yeah, it's not what anyone says.
Yes, exactly.
It's not there.
Correct. Rabbi Levine, like, he turns all of these dinim into economic incentives, right? As opposed to just like dinim, right? Like rules about what duties do you have, and when do I have a right to terminate you? Yeah. We'll see. Like, Rabbi Levine thinks these are all like carrots to incentivize certain kinds of actions. Like, so he's like imposing the economic one part. Gabe would say he's imposing like one particular conception of economics on like the halachic theory. Yeah. So we'll talk about that in short order. Adin, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, I'm realizing maybe now it's slightly connected, and we can discuss it more when we get to the Levine piece. But the
we're going to be in Levine in 5 minutes.
Yeah. So what I'm curious about here, like almost maybe even just strictly halach lamasa way, but it could reflect on the overall things that these are not absolute. The Baal HaBayis does not have like absolute authority over the Baal HaBayis over the poel's time outside of the contracted hours. Like if I moonlight, but I'm still able to, but I still am fulfilling my duties. Like, would we say like yadi al hatachtona, or it's like if it's a risk thing that like maybe like no, if I found out you moonlighted last night, you show up to work, you're fired because that like that could infringe on your working ability, or is it that if I find out that you have been moonlighting and like it's kind of like does he have like this expansive right like to the Baal HaBayis to the poel such that like it bleeds out into the entire day, or is it that he has a duty to those hours and like if you do other things in the non hours that affect those hours, then you're in trouble?
I think it's a great question. From reading the Makoros, the sense you get is that the moonlighting is constitutive of breaching your duty. The Chol HaMishana Yad Al Tachtona. Like it doesn't, like we don't require this like evidentiary inquiry into whether like this affected your work hours. If in fact the expectation is that you're going to work b'chol kochacha and you're like a poel who works all day or something, then it sounds like these Rishonim think, yeah, if you're Mishana, the presumption's against you, which is very strong. Maybe like our workday norm, like in America, like the workplace norms are not that way, you know? But it's certainly like the way the Rishonim talk about it. My sense is like, they think that, yeah, like the Baal HaBayis like has this claim on your kol kochi avati esavicha kind of thing. And given the empirical assumption that oftentimes moonlighting bears on your ability to work b'chol koach or whatever, the Baal HaBayis has a legal recourse to, you know, against you.
You're softening it, like you're framing it in like, oh, based on our like the sum of data we have, moonlighting, like you could frame it in a stronger way, like no, like I get to decide what you do outside of the thing because like that's part of our relationship, but we're not going that far.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think in the Yushalmi, like it says, Mipnei Shehu Memait Malachto Shabbal HaBayis, and even the Sefta, Mipnei Geza Malachto Shabbal HaBayis. I don't think like the claim here is that you're like an Eved where he has full control over you.
It's going back to last year.
Yeah. So I think there is this, you know, consequentialist consideration about bearing on the Malacha. Maybe it doesn't require a case by case inquiry to see whether your productivity was diminished. Gabe, you have a hand?
Yeah, I was just wondering, is there another read of Yad Al Tachtona, I guess without the Girsa change that you added to the... So let's say without the Mordechai's language, where is the other version of this? Nagos Maimonios?
Yeah, Nagos Maimonios, right here.
Was he quoting the Mordechai, or like I think the other way to say
this is...
Like maybe it's just weakening the bargaining power of the poel in a case of dispute, in a case of compensation. Like I didn't read the Hagos Maimonios' quote of the Ravya as saying what you're saying in the Mordechai.
Yeah, I hear that. There's clearly a word missing though. I mean, Chol Mishana Yad Al Tachtona Le, just like weird. It's like a weird phrase. If there's I think there is a word missing, but I do hear your point. This could be like the almost like the Varhaftig point in the Levine article. Yeah, like Yad Al Tachtona means there's some monetary consequence for breaching this duty. Right, Gabe?
Yeah, there's much more palatable to me than that this is grounds for firing the laborer. Okay, I don't... First of all, this is outside of the contractual hours, so it's hard to imagine that... It's hard to imagine that we could hold him accountable to the extent that you could fire him on his ground.
I think so. It's interesting. Well, you definitely have that in the Hagos Maimonios, right? He definitely says, sorry, you definitely have that in the Mordechai. So, definitely. That's
yeah, no, you're right about that. I guess I'm just a little bit uncomfortable with that view.
I see. This is part of your project to literacize a lot of the Dinamir. Like, you don't, well, you're not comfortable with the gazelle. You're not comfortable with the Rinomle.
Yeah, I'm consistent. I don't view this. I'm having trouble viewing this as a strict, legally binding or legally valid violation. Like, I think there are some teeth here, but I don't know if it's, like, I think of this more, I guess maybe to Shua's point from the beginning of the Chabura, I think of this more as a duty of the Po'el to sort of uphold to the best of his ability the contract that he has sort of about bias. And we have ways of trying to enforce that or encourage that behavior, but I don't know if I see this as a violation of contract.
Yeah, interesting. But you got to acknowledge the Mordechai who does think it is. So yeah, I guess the question of, like, you want to love Dafka the Gezel, you want to love Dafka the Mavrin on lay points. Can you pull the Makoros into this, you know, more Lifnim Yishuras Adin direction? Yeah. So I want to just point out to other areas where the halakha seems to...
Just to defend myself for a second, because you made my position seem a little bit less reasonable than I think it is. I don't think I'm allowed to ask so much, because we use the phrase gezel, but we never talk about compensations for gezel. So I actually don't think, like all of the places where we talk about mipnei gezel shem lacha shalav bias, that it's clear to anybody that it's gezel mamish with the monetary value.
Yeah, that's fair. I didn't mean to belittle your point, Gabe. I wasn't my intention. But yes, I there's definitely a way to read these things along your lines. Noah, you have a follow-up?
Not exactly a follow-up. I was wondering just the case. So the way that the Rishoni Ashkenaz read the case of the Melamed is like he's being hired by somebody. But I was wondering if that's like... Like, how do we read the Yerushalmi, where Rabbi Yochanan needs to bring a Kal V'chomer from the case of a classic Poel? Like, is that because in the case in the Yerushalmi, he wasn't actually being hired by anybody? Or do we read that as also he's hired by somebody? It's just Rabbi Yochanan sort of like saying, like, especially in the case of a Malamed?
Yeah, I understood this, that the Rishonim see a Malamed as a classic Poel. You know, like in all the Poel Sigyas, they immediately start talking about Malamdim.
Right.
And so the sense that I get is that this was a Malamed who was hired by the town, by a specific parent, something like that. So he's not just like a, yeah, he's not doing this for free. Like he's hired and he's breaching his contractual duties.
So Rabbi Yochanan doesn't really need to bring Kal V'chomer. He's just saying it like as a cute kind of drasha.
Right, he's like, even if a Stam Poel has this chiyuv, all the more so, like you, whose malacha has like intrinsic value in and of itself.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. That's how I understood you, Shami. Good. So I want to talk about this Choshen Mishpat encroachment on Ora Chaim here. I like this question. So the idea is that, so in our sugya, we saw that the Chazal are tinkering with the dinim de oraisa of zechus achilas poel. For the Ramban b'shitas hachachamim, they're expanding it beyond shas malacha. For the Ramban b'shitas Rabbi Yehuda, they're asering it b'shas malacha and matiring it shelo b'shas malacha. For this concern of bittul malacha. So there's this retinkering, readjustment of halachos based off the concern of bittul malacha. You see a similar phenomenon here in how the Choshen Mishpat encroaches on areas of Ora Chaim. So like the economic concerns are readjusting the Ora Chaim obligations, I think is a very interesting phenomenon. And here are the examples. Anybody want to tell us about the Birchas HaMazon example? So we saw in the Rambam already that, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, Hikpidu al bracha revi'ah shel Birchas HaMazon shelo yivarech osa. a poel ought not bench with the last bracha b'chus hamazon. This comes from the Gemara in Brachos, Amem Hei Amibes. Abaye would answer Amen to Bonei Brachim of Yishalayim, Ki Heichi Delishmu Poalem Vilekumo, that the Poalem will get up and go to work. Hatova Meitiv Lavdo Araisa, like they shouldn't stick around for Hatova Meitiv, so that they could get back to work. Now, it seems pretty clear, and as the Rashi says, Vilekumo Labidatayu, it seems pretty clear that this is out of the Bitul Malacha concern. The Sma in Shin Lamed Zayin says it's more than just an exemption from Brichas HaTova Meitiv. It actually includes, he has this diak based from the tour, that they're also exempt from benching with a Zimun. V'tarti ka'amar, v'otza lomar b'zimun, shelo hitzvichu lepo el hamtin al acherim, ad she yavarchu b'zimun, kidei shelo levata mimalachto. So not only do they exempt him from a tov meitiv, they also say a poel shouldn't wait around for a zimun because of bitul malacha. Isn't that surprising that the concern of bitul malacha should override the din of benching with a zimun? Even the Magen Avraham in Siman Kuf Tzadi Aleph, he says, like, even if some of these dinim are del raisa, afal gav de mi del raisa heim, it's pretty strong phrase. Like, yeah, like, it's one thing to say the Chachamim have the koach to do that. Fine. Yeah, I'm all for the koach Chachamim. But it's something else to say that, like, this is, like, they should exercise their koach out of concern for the Baal HaBayis. What do you make of this? You get like the choshe mishpat contractual duties to the employer encroaching on the otherwise, in this case, even some doraisa obligations like Zimun.
Like, there really seems to be like some decently strong evidence that this is motivated by like a less, whatever, like a sociological or whatever you want to call it, in Chazal's time, and their contemporary understanding of like labor economics, that like the choice of when to wield this power of like that they have this, okay, Chazal obviously have this authority, but to wield it in such a way, like they have to ask what's motivating it. And I say that, like, okay, so it's one thing where these like test cases of, okay, so it's purely labor Baal HaBayis things about moonlighting and things like that, but if we're gonna like go so far as to be okay some d'oraisa halachot, then we're like, it must be a really powerful conception of what the laborer owes the Baal HaBayis. And yeah. I mean,
so it's the way you're putting it. It's like the gezel consideration is right. It's like the gezel gezel malachas Baal HaBayis would explain why it could override. Like gezels are kind of d'oraisa also. That would explain why it could override the Zimun.
You're being more, I hadn't thought, like, I like you're what I was about to say is like, I don't see a Torah concept that would like I don't know which psukim or whatever they're reading that like that seem like the Torah has this conception of the duties that a laborer has. Maybe it's the Gezel point, or it could just be like, if that's what they, if they're working with the, I don't know, we have to open up the academia and see like how labor markets worked in 5th century Iran and stuff like that, but like if that's how they understand it, like what, that's kind of like maybe even going back to like minhag and all that, if like that's what, if that's what a laborer owes, then like we can't really, like we have to enforce that.
Still a chiddush to my mind that the choshe mishpat could encroach on the Or HaChaim in this way.
No, for sure, yeah. For sure, I'm saying that the fact that it is shows that like it's they're very sure that this is what a laborer owes the Baal HaBayis.
That's right. Yeah. Let me just make one more point, then I'll take Noah's hand. The Gemara in Brachos Tezayin Amid Aleph says, quotes a Braisa, Tan Rabbanan Apolim Shehayu Osen Malacha Yitzal Baal HaBayis, Korin Shema, blah, 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 Mispalim Tfila Shel Shmoneh Esrei, Aval Ein Yardin Lifnei Ateva V'Ein Nosin Kapeyem. So why should a laborer who's Osen Malacha Yitzal Baal HaBayis not be Nosei Kapayim or Yorei Lefnei Ateva? What do you think? Question for the Olam here. Why shouldn't Poel's Osam Lachetz Bal Bayis be Yorei Lefnei Ateva and Duchen? What do you think? Shua, what do you think?
Because the Poel will be too rushed to get back and be Mekayim his mitzvah of Pol Yom, and then he's going to daven too quickly at the Shefti.
Oh, so Shua is worried about the Aruch Chaim, right? You'll see here, Rashi here says, Einan Yardin Lefnei Ateva, Einan Rashayim Libatam Yimalachdan, Vileri Lefnei Ateva Lasa Shliach Tibor, Yeshua Bito Malacha Yoser Midai. First of all, if you just take the second half of that Rashi, it's such a great quote to have, right? Someone asks you to be shliach. Oh no, yesh ba bitam alacha yosem midai. You know, it's like got to answer emails on my phone. You know, it's harder to do when you're shliach tzibur. So the concern here seems to be bitam alacha. But check out this Aruch HaShulchan, Kuf Yud Sif Zion. Great idea. He's like, why is the Gemara so worried? Like, why is there bitam alacha in being shliach tzibur? He says, "V'shma mizeh shem chuyavim tekef la'achar kedusha lashuv l'malachdan." The imlo kain may nafkamina be ridasam lifnei ateva v'duchanam, kivan shagam below ze yishayu adachar atfila. Isn't that a great Aruch HaShulchan? He says, "Oh, kamash malan from this gemara that the poel is mechuyav to."
You're going to be maharis. You're going to be maharis all minyanim everywhere, like all workplace minyanim everywhere.
You can tell she was a paid shul rabbi. Only a paid shul rabbi would say that.
No, Puntaka, this is next time we have, I mean, with God's help, when we have office minyanim again, this is proof positive that we should do a Hech Kedusha.
That's right. It's a very good Aruch HaShulchan, right? But this is another really interesting example. In Rashi, and the Gemara is explicit that it's Mipnei Bitul Malachas Baal Bayis. See, I told you the Makor was for fun. That's what I meant. But the Aruch HaShulchan here is being medayik from this Rashi that there's, you know, bitul. The reason why you can't dochen or bishliach tzibur if you're a poel is because there's bitul malachios midai. He says, oh, you see that there's mechuyavim tekef lachar kedusha lashuv l'malach. You have to leave right after kedusha to get back to work. And he just, you know, when he cites the Rambam, he adds in shaharei chazal hikpidu al tfilaso shelo yarich, right? That you shouldn't have too long of a davening if you're a poel. I'll just mention again the Gemara in Tanis that Shua mentioned the other day about if you're a sachir, you're not supposed to be meshiv shalom, maybe. And then in Hilchos Kavod Rav and Siman Reish Mem Dalid, the Shulchan Aruch says ein bali uman yos chayavim lamo nifnei tamid chachamim b'shal shaloskim b'mlachdan b'mo'osek b'mlecha sachir and brotzol hachmer latzim lam fun of ein arashai. So it's like a poel is not allowed to be mevatel mimlachdo to give kavod to tamid chachamim. Right, so if you're osek mlech zachim, working for a bala bias, you can't be machmir lamod b'fanav, right, in a rashai. So these are all really interesting examples where it's not just choshen mishpat encroaching on choshen mishpat, which we have in our sugya, where you know the bitul mleches bala bias is factoring into the zchus achilas poel. Here it's the choshen mishpat encroaching on the Aruch Chaim, in the davening case, in the benching case, in the zeman case, in the Kavod Rav case, you have this like recurring theme of like the importance of not being mevatel mleches bala bayis. Yeah. So let's take Noah's hand. Noah, you have a hand?
I have two hands. But I'm not sure. I don't know how to put it down. But
I can put it down for you.
Okay. But anyway, I also have something. So I was one like just comparing this.
You mean you have two questions, or you're saying like physically you have two hands?
Oh, I have two hands.
No, yeah,
two
like
hands. Yes, yeah. So comparing this to the Chaz, I think it was, I forget who at the beginning of the year, and I don't know if we talked about this already, but the Chazon Ish, who said that the reason that the Baal Bayis is mourning coming to work, coming to work time comes off the Baal Bayis, was so that he could have time to daven.
That was the Toras Chaim.
Okay. Yeah. It's like totally not in the spirit of,
yes.
like, any exactly. of this.
Diametrically opposed to this, exactly. Yes. When we said polel, it's bichnisaso mishalo, and that's a yeah. That's right. Taurus Chaim said, oh, so that he could daven and finish davening with like nates and then go to work. Right. This is kind of like the exact opposite. Right. Although you could say one's like ideally how the Torah sets up the work day. And this is like assuming that you're already in a contract that stipulated these hours, like davening's not an excuse.
Right. Yeah. I could. Yeah.
I mean, that's why the Torah set up the work day that way. Because
otherwise it would be you couldn't do it. It's interesting, yeah. That's a sharp point.
All these kind of examples are kind of, I don't know, they're pretty surprising to me given like Noah's point earlier about just like, listen, like when you're hiring a Jewish worker, you know what obligations he has to the bonus role and coming in. It's like that's what he agreed to come. And like this implying that before the Tekanas Chazal, like if they were to say all the brachos of benching, they would not be over Gezela de Oraisa. Like it would have been fine. Like why it's not kind of perplexed to me why Chazal kind of, so to speak, like gave in for these also super minute things. Like these didn't seem like, you know, oh, he was going to like, you know, I don't know, some massive several hour break, just like 2 minutes.
Right.
Like, I don't know. They seem more like symbolic that Chazal seemed to be like trying to like, kind of like put down the independence of the poel and say like, listen, you're not on your own, you're not here just doing your own obligations, you're really almost some sort of like she would go for the, well, I don't know, there seems to be something else going on here, why Chazal would make these takanos, otherwise it's just like why did you have to do this?
Well, I agree with you, Zachariah, that, you know, maybe they could have said, no, there's an implied mechila here, right, but instead they go this other way and say, no, like, bitul malachta shabal bayis, kezal malachta, right, these are real considerations. Looked like Akir wanted to respond to this, yes. Akir.
Well, first of all, I want to say that this could also just be a raya that we bench too quickly. But also, Zachariah, are you basically trying to say that like these, that like what's going on here is that Chazal made these takanos so that the Rambam could close Hilchos Chiyuros the way he does? It's just like to make a moral statement about workers' responsibilities.
I mean, I don't understand like why else, because in terms of contract, it's not required. And in terms of practicality, this is not like, it's not like tikkun olam to do this, you know, like the, I don't know, like the pragmatic side of it is not so compelling.
I hear. I just want to give us one other thing to nosh over, and then we'll talk about Rabbi Levine for 5 minutes. You know, I wonder if, I think for sure, like this is one of the underappreciated aspects of Koshe Mishpat. There's, you know, Gezel Malach, even Gabe, you know, Gabe is uncomfortable with, you know, Gezel Malacha is Lav Dafka and Mavrin Anlay is Lav Dafka. You know, I don't know, Gabe, we have to hear from Gabe what he thinks about these Makoros on the encroachment on Orach Chaim. But, you know, certainly I think in mindset, we think, you know, like the Choshen Mishpat stuff is subservient somehow to the Orach Chaim. I just think that's like a popular mindset, you know. Of course, like you dive in the long Shemon Esrei, especially when you're at work, you know. That's what the Torah wants to be. Like, especially when you're in the workplace, you need the extra long mincha. Here, I think you see the reverse consideration, right? The Choshen Mishpat stuff is taken very seriously and it abridges some of the Orach Chaim obligations, which I think is really important and really interesting. You know, a priori, I don't think it's right to have an intuition one way or the other. Like, why should the Orach Chaim prevail over the Choshen Mishpat as opposed to the Choshen Mishpat prevailing over the Orach Chaim? I just thought it's worthwhile, other than for the reasons that Zachariah said. You know, maybe there's an implied waiver, implied mechila. We all know this going in, some assumption of risk, whatever. But I wonder if it's you could connect this to even like some broader questions in halacha, like the fact that an eved is pater min mitzvos from like mitzvah seishes man grama, mipnesha avedas rabo alav, and like even like if you take like the Abar Benel who says that a woman is pteros from mitzvah seishes man grama mipnesha like avodas baila aleha. So usually people tend, like Shua made a face, right? Because usually we say, oh, that's like, you know, that's just like a nice explanation. I wonder if in light of these examples, where there's like legitimate, if like, especially in the Magen Avraham's point that Zimun Dil, Dinim Dil Raisa are gonna be Nifka because of the Bitul Meleches Baal HaBayis, whatever. It's not such a logical leap to say that there's this equivalent of Choshen Mishpat encroachment in these two other cases, right? In the case of the Eved and the Isha, like literally it's like Mipnei She'avodas Rabo Alav, that is a dispensation from Mitzvah Seishas Mangrama. Same for the Abar Benel with the woman being Ketura Mitzvah Seishas Mangrama, Mipnei She'avodas Bailo Alav. It's just another instance of this kind of Choshen Mishpat encroachment. Just some food for thought, just in light of the Poel example. There are a lot of relationships between a Poel and a Eved, you know, Guvul Kanoi, something we spoke about last year. So it's worth like thinking about that, that relationship. Gabe, do you want to get a point in here about, you're probably very upset with all this? Gabe? He unmuted himself, but there's no voice.
I double muted myself just to make sure my child didn't discuss. I think your last point is particularly thought provoking about which the prioritization and the weight that we give to Choshen Mishpat versus Or Chaim. Until you got to that point, I was pretty comfortable thinking about all of these as Or Chaim like dinim. Or that would have been my question. If it's an ethical requirement on the Poel, if we think of this as a Poel's ethical duty and not really contractual duty, then I see the interaction or the interplay between that and Tila or that and Zimun more directly.
I hear. So that should give us something to chew over. Can we spend 10 minutes on Ari Levine? I promise I won't go past 12:40. We do that? No, sure, we can.
I mean, you can. I just have a meeting.
What?
You said you can. I just have a 12:30 meeting.
Choshen Mishpat encroachment.
Yeah. You're the irony that you mentioned last time is not lost on me.
Levine talks about how nowadays employers all know that their workers do stuff on the side. They all know that they make long distance phone calls, you know, at work. So in deference to Shua, should we just spend that like, do the Rabbi Levine article at the beginning of next Kabura? You know, spend like 20 minutes on it? Does that sound good?
I see how it's expanding now.
Hey, you're trying to like bully Shua into the...
It's like either I have to stick around so that we can do it in 10 minutes and just be done with it, or...
This isn't like a Kiddush. Like what takes 10 minutes at the end of Kabura always takes 20 minutes
at the beginning of Kabura.
That's right. All right, so let's... You know, we could spend more time over Shabbos reading through Rabbi Levine. I'll send out a little Makor sheet about the Rabbi Levine piece. If you want, we could just do a Sunday Chabura doing Rabbi Levine. If you want, look at that. Shua's putting his hair together for his work meetings. Mamish. Malachas Kodesh Baruch Hu, Malachas Kama V'Kama. No, what about the Yushalmi, Shua?
I hear.
Let's stop here. I'll send out a vote if you want to do Sunday for Rabbi Levine or just do it on Tuesday. Oh, Sunday's not. All right.
It'll have to be a night.
All right. Good talk, everyone.
Good. Yeah, I guess
she was the only one who had to run.
Job.
Yeah, we'll figure out. Does Chava give a preference for Rabbi Levine when we do it?
It seems like the oil prefers on Tuesday.
All right. So let's just do Tuesday. It's a really interesting article. We could spend like 20 minutes on it. So.